You're listening to The Jefferson Exchange. I'm Roman Battaglia. My guest is someone you might be familiar with if you listen to one of JPR's other services. Milt Radford is our morning news host, and he's also our resident meteorologist. Hey there, Milt.
Hi there. How you doing, Roman?
Good. Wonderful. Milt, what are your holiday plans?
I'm going to stay put. I have some family, some children and grandchildren in Portland and in Sacramento, and they're going to converge here. So I'm going to be off the highways and off the tarmac. I won't be anywhere near those places.
That sounds excellent. But, you know, that family's going to be traveling. You know, this is one of the busiest travel times of the year, and it coincides with seasonal changes and severe weather. And this year, travel is expected to be one of the busiest yet, with 122 million people expected by AAA and 109 million of those by car. What can we expect over the next week or two?
Well, we've had certainly a very dry season so far, evidence. But you look at Mount Ashland, they have zero snow at their base. And Mount Bachelor only has 3 inches. And Bend is one of the most popular travel destinations during the holidays in Oregon. And we're looking at probably still temperatures above normal and some heavy rain. As a matter of fact, we have our own atmospheric river that's starting today. It's a short-lived one, only a couple of days compared to what they've been going through in Washington State. So overall, I mean, it probably will be pretty safe in the passes. The rain could be an issue, hydroplaning if you're in your car. But for the most part, I think it'll be relatively safe for driving. And no serious fog is anticipated. We're not getting as much fog in the valleys as we used to. That's in part due to climate change. Most climate change news is bad. Occasionally, there's a sliver of good news, and it means less fog.
That's interesting. What I feel like I've been seeing more fog lately, but I don't right. know. Maybe that's just me. But like, what is the mechanism then behind that?
I've lived in the Rogue Valley for 20 years, and we used to get pea soup fog that was so thick and would last for just days. But when you have climate change, when the temperature goes up a little bit, that reduces the amount of fog. We have less mills operating. They used to put a lot of precipitation into the atmosphere through their smokestacks. So just a combination of things. We still get fog, and sometimes it is pretty thick, but it doesn't seem to be as long as it used to be.
Yeah, not as thick. That's interesting. I didn't know about the mills, that them releasing precipitation would increase the fog levels in the area. So, you know, you mentioned atmospheric river. I know that Washington recently has experienced a number of these atmospheric rivers that have caused widespread flooding in the state. You know, we've had some of our own here, but, you know, for listeners who don't know and might be confused, what is an atmospheric river and what causes it?
They've been around forever, but it's a relatively new term. An atmospheric river is, generally speaking, especially over the Pacific, 200 or 300 miles in width. They're more than 1,000 miles long. They're generally low level, less than 10,000 feet. That's low by meteorological standards. And they're very slow moving. It's one of the reasons that they dump so much rain like we're seeing in Washington State and a few places in Oregon, Tillamook. I have a friend in Tillamook. They've really been hit with a lot of rain because they were kind of on the bottom end of that atmospheric river that came into Washington State. That's the main thing. They're sometimes called a Pineapple Express. Slightly incorrect. A Pineapple Express is an atmospheric river, but an atmospheric river is not necessarily a Pineapple Express. Mm-hmm. Most atmospheric rivers do start in the tropics. They come out of Hawaii quite often, but they don't have to. They could be on a very different vector coming into the state that avoids the tropics.
Interesting. Is it what exactly causes an atmospheric river then? What creates it?
They are ahead of a cold front. Cold fronts almost always produce more precipitation than a warm front might. And it's just the way the atmosphere is, the jet stream is lined up and the way the cold front is coming in and where they develop and how much time. And certainly if you look down on it with a satellite imagery, it looks like a river in the sky because they're just long and thin by those standards.
Yeah, wow, interesting. Yeah. And I think I've seen pictures of those atmospheric rivers before. They're huge. I mean, you mentioned 1,000 miles long, 200 miles wide.
I've heard that they potentially, in their size, they could dump more rain water than you have in the Mississippi River on any given point in time.
Wow.
You know, not for prolonged periods, but for a short period of time, they're like a Mississippi River in the sky.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned them happening in the Pacific Ocean? Do we see atmospheric rivers elsewhere?
You know, I'm not an expert on where you might see all of them. There's a number of factors that line up for those. You know, we get cold fronts. Weather starts in the Pacific a lot of times, and then because the Earth rotates counterclockwise, most storms move from west to east, so they move across the country, and an atmospheric river that comes in would dissipate as soon as it comes very far inland. I'm not sure exactly what the Gulf Stream and if that happens so much in Europe, if they see the same kind of thing or not, but maybe.
Yeah, although I'm sure, you know, they over there on the East Coast, they have hurricanes where we don't really have as
many of those
over here. So should you, you mentioned that it's drier than, you know, we might have been experiencing recently. But should those headed up to Washington with the recent atmospheric rivers be concerned about the weather and the flooding impacts up there?
Depending on where you're going, yes. There are still rivers that are at flood stage, and they have more rain in the forecast. I don't know over the next couple of weeks if they have any more atmospheric rivers come in, but the long-range forecast is definitely for more rivers, more rain. So those rivers will likely stay at flood stage in quite a few places.
Yeah, and I think I've seen some stories too about landslides too, including in Oregon as well, that could be impacting people trying to get around for the holidays.
That's right.
My guest is JPR meteorologist Milt Radford, here to talk with us about the holiday weather and explain all of the weather stuff, because as much as I love the weather and I'm interested in it, I don't know all of the terms and stuff, and you are the expert in it.
You don't go the science nerd route on it.
I am a nerd about a lot of things, but I think I just have not delved into the weather stuff specifically, because there's a lot of different terms and, like, you know, heights and elevations and, like, pressures. I think I'm always really confused about the pressures, the cold front, the high pressure zone, and what exactly causes all of that. It's always a really hard thing to understand. You know, there seems to be a lot of confusion in the public about weather and the climate. You know, no one really argues about weather changes specifically, but climate change is a polarizing issue. Why do we see that?
I'll give you an old joke to start out. It used to be that if you wanted to know what the weather was going to be like over the next week to 10 days, ask a meteorologist. If you want to know what the weather's going to be in 100 years, ask a politician. And there's still a slight element of truth in that. But over the course of the last couple of decades, there have been so many studies done, one after another, hundreds if not thousands, that have verified we're in a period of climate change. And the question is always, how much is caused by human intervention, and how much of it is a natural process? The overwhelming majority of studies have shown that it's human intervention that's driving climate change, with a little bit of help from Mother Nature as well. And so, I think we're unfortunately in an anti-science era right now. We see it in health topics. We see it in meteorology and many other branches of science. And it has become, unfortunately, politicized. And that, of course, hurts funding for research and planning for the future and what's the world going to look like for our kids and our grandkids. And all of those issues atmospheric science has become as politicized as anything.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and I know, obviously, with cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that's going to make it harder for weather predicting and all of that stuff. You mentioned that it's drier than normal right now. Is that caused by climate change, or is that just sort of a weather phenomenon that we're seeing?
You know, you can look at increased probabilities of something, but tying an individual stretch of weather over 2 or 3 months to what's happened in the past, it's much like the old stock market thing about, you know, past performance doesn't guarantee the future. That's a hard question to answer. I'm not trying to dodge it, but it's something that both meteorologists and climatologists study all the time. To what extent is climate change influencing the weather that we see today, next week, or next month?
Yeah. Yeah, that always does seem like it's a hard thing to look at, because, you know, you talk about, you know, you hear people talking about climate change and stuff, and then, say, last winter in Oregon, at least, we in southern Oregon, northern California, we had a lot of rain. I mean, the snowpack was, you know, all over 100% of the average and stuff, and we were seeing, you know, lots of water available to everyone. But then, you know, just a couple years before, there was a major drought that was lasting for years, and so it's kind of hard to tell how much of that is actually caused by the weather versus, you know, what is climate change. I mean, it sounds like that, you know, climate change might be sort of tipping the odds maybe in terms of like yes. what kind of weather you might see in the future.
That's right. Without looking at it specifically, I'd say that's a good way of expressing it. You know, meteorology talks about what's happening now, but definitely we're being influenced by climate change in, you know, day-to-day meteorological events.
Yeah. I mentioned a little bit about the cuts to NOAA and the National Weather Service and stuff. Has that impacted your ability to look at weather changes and stuff?
I don't think so. I'm concerned about what's happening out toward the coast and the ability to research a lot of things from erosion to tides and everything else. You know, so far, I think for me locally, and I can't speak for every place where there's a National Weather Service office or a NOAA office. I mean, for me, it hasn't been too much of an impact so far.
I wanted to jump over to the coast. You know, storm watching is popular around this time of year when the tides are really high. The California King Tides Project held King Tide tours in a number of locations December 4th and 5th, including in Arcata in Humboldt County. And the next King Tide events are scheduled for January 2nd and the 3rd. Oregon's Lincoln City also has a special promotion on king tides in the area. Could you explain what are king tides and how can they present a danger for people?
The planets are in alignment. You know, we often say that as sort of a metaphor for something, but this is literally true, where the sun, the moon, and the earth are lined up. The moon is going to be, it's going to be a super moon, the first of the year on January 3rd, so it'll be closest to the earth. And at the same time, the sun is closest to the earth this time of year. That seems counterintuitive. In fact, people who used to watch the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire primetime show, the very first million-dollar winner knew that the Earth was closest to the sun in the winter months and not the summer. That's because of the tilt of the Earth, and there are other factors affecting temperature regime. But the three are lined up, and so, for example, in the Pacific, you have the moon in between the Earth and the sun, and they're both pulling. And you'll get tides that'll be 2 or 3 inches higher than normal. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot unless you have, for example, an atmospheric river or a strong cold front or a high tide event instead of low tide. All of those things can literally be deadly. There's the old rule, never turn your back to the ocean any time of the year, and especially if you're out watching one of these king tide events. They're impressive to see. So just do it safely, but they're really impressive to go to the coast and see.
Yeah. So it sounds like that, you know, the danger especially is just because they can be unexpected. They're much bigger than normal. So you might
yes.
be in a place where you might expect is safe when it's really not. And you should be careful about, you know, where you physically are when you're watching these kind of king tides and stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know that I've seen videos about it of them washing onto the, you know, beachside roads and stuff and getting in the way. I went down to Puerto Vallarta recently last month, and they just had a king tide event as well down there, and you saw these huge waves really, like, hitting on these riprap, you know, barricades and stuff, and really kind of causing a lot of mess. So it sounds like it can be dangerous, especially in combination with things yeah. like the atmospheric river.
Well, occasionally you hear stories of people who go out on jetties because that would be easier to see, and they're just not really aware of one of these waves that comes in. Just it seems like it's coming out of nowhere, and unfortunately people have lost their lives in those situations.
Yeah. You know, we're seeing the widespread flooding. We're seeing the danger from the king tides. We're seeing erosion and landslides. Is there anything, you know, positive about the current weather we're seeing right now?
Well, as you know, one thing that it does, if the atmospheric rivers don't hang around too long, they provide a lot of needed moisture for the west coast of Oregon and Washington and Northern California. Of course, the best is snow. Snowpack is stored precipitation. Weather is not. Weather only lasts a few days and then goes into the ground. But of course, you can fill reservoirs with rainwater as well. So generally speaking, most atmospheric rivers are beneficial, but not all, as we see in Washington State right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like they are beneficial in terms of bringing the moisture that we do need, but also, you know, the important part is the snow. And it sounds like, I mean, right now we haven't been seeing as much snow as we are hoping we would.
And that's a big concern as you move out toward the spring when you're talking about agriculture, ranching, and tourism, and everything that in, you know, our part of the world is dependent upon having full reservoirs and ideally having good snowpack to melt off in that early spring season.
Yeah, you need that snowpack to fill up the reservoirs as the reservoirs start getting emptied to do the irrigation.
That's right.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks, Milt.
Thank you, Roman.
My guest was JPR meteorologist Milt Radford.